for joining us. You're listening to episode 6 of the Golf Talk Podcast, brought to you by thesandtrap.com. Joining me from Washington, the state, not the city, is Jeff Smith. Howdy.
Hello, Eric. Hey, I'm doing pretty good. Good to be here. And also joining us just outside of Phoenix, Arizona, is Everardo Kimi. Everardo?
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Kimi. Good. So what's up? Don't tell me about the weather. I don't want to hear about it.
I have a club championship this weekend. That's all I have to say.
Okay. So do I. Unfortunately, it's on my GameCube.
That's it. At about 30 degrees, I don't have anything going in the way of golf except for Tiger Woods on, Peter.
First topic this week, Morgan Pressel played in the LPGA Q School, ended up finishing tied for 6th at 3 under par, 200 under last day. It raises an interesting point about Carolyn Bivens and her decision to enforce Ty Votaw's decision, basically not to allow Morgan Pressel access or grant her membership to the LPGA until she turns 18, which is May 23rd. None of her earnings or wins or anything like that before May 23rd will count for end of your money list, Solheim Cup, anything. Should Carolyn Bivens change Ty Votaw's rules? And if so, how would that affect the Michelle Wee case?
Well, you guys are going to have to help me out here, but if they never allow anyone under 18 for any reason to participate in the LPGA, then they need to stick with that. Otherwise, if it's, there's certain exceptions made, I think in more
they've granted exceptions
case,
in the past to people that have shown, I forget how they put it, but basically people that have shown the ability and desire and whatever. The person I'm thinking of that I always forget her name, she'd already graduated from high school when she was granted permission at 17. So It is a case-by-case basis. At 18, they can't deny you entry. But prior to that, it's a case-by-case kind of basis. So
I would really hope that they would allow her. She's gone through Q school. She's qualified 6th. She has shown a lot of talent. She's shown a lot of maturity. I think it's just going to hurt the tour more if... I believe she'll be successful, but it's going to hurt the tour more if she can't be successful enough to secure her card for the 07 season, and then they're going to make her go through Q school again. I think that would just be a tragedy, really, to make her go through that process again. Not saying she would, but by definitely cutting out the amount of tournaments that she can use to qualify for, that definitely puts her at a hurt.
It does, and Paula Creamer played this year fully exempt, but her 18th birthday was much, much earlier in the year. She was 18 when she joined the tour. Her high school graduation came the week after she won her first tournament. Morgan Pressel's would come at about the same time. She just had the misfortune of being born May 23rd instead of earlier in the year, or technically later in the year before, I guess, like Paula Creamer. So I would overturn Ty Votaw's decision. I think people like Morgan Pressel, who are 17 or 18 right on that border, obviously show the talent coming in second at the U.S. Women's Open, should be granted access. That doesn't mean I think everyone that's 16 or 17 should be, but she's shown that she has the ability. She has an outstanding amateur record, and she's played well in the LPGA events that she's played in.
Yeah.
She has to wait till next fall to go through LPGA Q school, but if she did it and was 17, I'd let her in too. These are exceptions, not the rule, and I don't think anyone in the golf world would tell you that Morgan Pressel and Michelle Wee are examples of, all of women's junior golf. These are exceptions, and they should be treated as such, I think.
I agree, and I think Morgan's U.S. Women's Open finish this year really speaks to the issue. She got a second place, and that really says a lot about her game, her ability to compete. Allow her, if there are those exceptions made.
And the thing is, really, she didn't really lose the tournament. It was just birdie getting her birdie at the very end to win the tournament.
To lock into it.
Yeah.
I should point out, too, before we move away from this topic, I have no idea how to pronounce the name. Aimia Szarró, I believe, finished at 17 under. Second place was 5 under. So she blew away the field at LPGA Q School by 12 shots. So,
and I think that's unprecedented. That's unprecedented, too, isn't it?
What'd she get? Her card, just like everybody else.
Right.
Men's Q School finished up. A bunch of guys, 24 under, won it. It's over 6 rounds, I believe LPGA Q School is 4 rounds. So the guys play 6, 24 under 1. That honor belongs to John Holmes, Alex Chaik, who was on the tour last year, finished second at 21 under, so just a three-shot margin of victory. Allen was winning for a while there, and he finished up down the list at 7, 16 under par. But some interesting names both in the list that qualified and also the list that didn't. What are your thoughts?
I'm kind of glad to see Alex Chaik back on the tour. I mean, he's a fun player to watch. I've always enjoyed watching him. I'm also glad to see Nick Watney make it back up there, DA points. I mean, these are guys that have a lot of talent. They just need to play a little bit more consistent and secure their cards. I mean, they weren't that far off from having it, so it'll be good to see them. It was also really cool. Yeah. Bill Haas.
Hunter Mahan at ninth.
We got a couple of guys right on the bubble there who just missed out. Briney Baird, Dan Forsman, Bob Heinz stick out to me. Scott Hind.
Yep.
Didn't
One
make
shot
it.
Back. PGA Tour driving leader last year.
Yep.
Won't even be playing next year. He's on the Nationwide Tour.
So he had his moment in the sun.
That's right.
For sentimental value and for just the publicity of it, it was good to see Bill Haas make it too.
I've always liked Chase, so his son kind of gets some rub off as far as appeal in my book. So there you go. Jadon Blake finished at 6 under, five shots out of qualifying. He's a previous tour winner. Patrick Dameron down there. Kevin Stadler finished 73rd. At minus -4.
Painful.
So, you know, Noda Begay, 88th, minus -2. Yeah. Larry Mize, minus -2, also an 88th. Esteban Toledo won the Greater Erie Charity Classic near me, 1 under, finished in 97th. You know, just a lot of good golfers not making it. Skip Kendall, plus +6, 135th. Mm-hmm. You know, quite a few WDs. Pat Bates withdrew after shooting an 81 in the first round. I'd probably withdraw as well. Even in the top 30, there are a bunch of people that you wouldn't expect to see their names. John Holmes. I mean, who is John Holmes? I don't know. We'll find out. Nicholas Thompson. Time bottom people know, etc. So, Robert Gehr, I guess. I don't know. We'll find out. But congratulations to the top 30. Some interesting people in there and some interesting people not in there. So, we wish them all the best of luck next year, wherever they may play.
Huge weight off their shoulders to have that.
I love watching Q School because everybody within 3 or 4 shots, even with 2 or 3 holes left, has a chance to something, you know. It's not about just winning. You only have to survive and get in that top 30. So everybody, you know, if you're 4 shots back, it's not like you're giving up because who cares who wins? You just need to be in the top 30.
I also like the television coverage because they don't take as much time to edit it, so you hear and see a lot more than you would in a normal golf tournament, too.
Right.
So it's nice to see a lot more of the emotions. I mean, we know all the golfers have it, but now actually seeing some of these guys, I mean, it's not good to see them throw a tantrum, but at least you can see a lot of these guys and hear a lot of their emotions, too.
Moving on from the wannabes that are at Q School to the players of the year, Tiger Woods, Dana Quigley, Jason Gower. What do you think?
Well, phenomenal names.
Yeah, Tiger Woods was a shoe-in, as was Jason Gower. I'm not familiar with performance on the Champions Tour, but of course Tiger and Jason were, they're crowd favorites and they are well deserved winners of the playoffs.
I watched the Champions Tour actually a lot because I like people like Dana Quigley.
In
previous
Phoenix
articles that I'd read,
everyone retires there.
Yeah, a lot of that too. Quigley had a great season, 15 top 10 finishes, 2 wins, 5 runner-ups, winning over $2 million. He definitely had a really cool season.
But Hale Lundgren had 4 wins, right?
Yes.
And Quigley had 2. Hale Lundgren played in 22 events, and Quigley played in 27 and barely edged him out on the money list.
Correct.
My vote would have gone to Hale Lundgren. I mean, the guy's couple years older than Quigley. Quigley's like 57 or whatever, he's up there, but 4 wins over 2, less events. My vote would go to Hale Irwin.
Yeah, I can definitely see your point there.
Especially since Quigley couldn't hold on to win at the end. You know, Tom Watson snuck away with the cup thing. So the Charles.
That was a hard one. I had a hard time rooting for both sides there because those are both two personalities that I liked seeing. Well, so
I was hoping Jay Haas would win the tournament, but he squandered a 6-shot lead there at the end, so.
Yeah.
I don't know. Kind of makes me wonder how Haas will play next year, but I think we can touch on that later. So Tiger Woods, Jason Gore, certainly no doubt. Dana Quigley, I don't really like that choice. Would have gone to Hale Irwin.
Yeah, well, Tiger with his two majors and outstanding season, Jason Gore gets the Battlefield promotion, then wins the 84 Lumber Classic. Had a couple of other top five finishes in the shootout. That's, and then, well, those are post, those are silly season games, aren't they?
Indeed.
But he had his first place.
Well, Everardo, did you break away from any Champions Tour coverage to watch the Tiger World, the Target World Challenge?
A little bit. I was actually out there on work and tried to extend my trip to stay out there a little bit, but I'll have to settle for watching it on TV. So when I'm not outside.
That's right. Shut up, Jeff.
No, sir. I have not. I have not seen this.
It's a fun event. It really is kind of a, just because of the big names in there, and the guys still do take it seriously. Like watching Padraig out there, he was practicing way out until dark. I mean, it's a big purse that these guys are still playing for, so it's nice to see that they still take it seriously, even though it is silly season.
It's good to see top guys battling against each other, but still being a little loose. Phil Mickelson, yeah, of course, opted out of them.
I mean, it's a different atmosphere. I mean, having a little bit more fun out there.
Now let's hear from golfgods.com. I think Jeff or Everardo is actually going to read this week's ad, but in case you didn't pick it up the first time I said it, you can visit them online at golfgods.com. They've been a longtime sponsor and friend of the Sand Trap, so let's hear what they have to say this week.
All right, well, with only 15 days until Christmas, so we wanted to tell you about some great offers on great gift ideas at golfgods.com. For the gadget guy on your list, check out the SkyCaddy GPS Yardage Finder. You'll play faster and you'll play better because you'll know the exact distance to every target on the course just by looking at the screen. GolfGods.com also has some really low prices on popular items right now. For instance, the TaylorMade R7 drivers are just $299. That's a great deal. Ben Hogan CS3 drivers are $149. And the Wilson Staff DI5 iron sets are just $349. Plus, you receive a free stand bag. GolfGods.com has lots of other low prices and great gift ideas on their website, and you can call them at 866-346-5355, and they can help you find exactly what you need. So until next time, we wish you straight drives, short putts, and low scores.
Not short drives and straight putts.
We wish you some great play out there.
That's right. GolfGods.com, in case you didn't pick it up already. Now let's hear from one of our other partners, Golf WRX, with their weekly equipment segment.
Hello, this is Izzy from GolfWRX.com. Equipment news. We've got the new launch of the R7425 from TaylorMade for Christmas. Looks like it's going to be delayed. Only a couple of weeks. Found a defect in their manufacturing. TaylorMade's a very quality organization. Going to hold it back to make sure all the problems are resolved. Didn't stop Freddie Funk from trying it out at the Target Challenge. I guess he was trying about four different prototypes on the range, but stuck with the older R7 for the tournament. A lot of shaft news this week. Grafaloi has a new lineup for retail. Pro Launch 85 and Pro Launch 95 was out on tour. Now it's coming to retail. Good fairway wood shaft. Also, Tour Concept from Tour Temper. Their iron shafts now come in a chrome finish. Normally they came out in a green, transparent finish. Now you can get them in a chrome finish. That will make a lot of people happy. Also, for Fujikura, they're coming out with a Vista Tour 80-gram shaft for their fairway woods. And also the very popular 660TR Japan-only Tour Spec shaft that was only available on tour and in Japan is coming to the U.S. retail market. It's on the speeder line. It's got a mid-high kick point and produces a very flat ball flight, suitable for the bigger-headed drivers. They also have a speeder 550 shaft for drivers for a higher handicapper. Good to see Fujikura complementing already a very popular line in America. It's been a good week on Golf WRX for pictures. Paula Creamer and Natalie Gulbis, sponsored by TaylorMade. Both of them were in town for the Lexus Cup, And we were fortunate enough at Golf WRX to have a member get some real nice photographs of their equipment. Interesting prototype wedges and real close-up picks. You can see them in the tour equipment forum. Easy registration. All you need is an email address and a username, of course, for free. In addition to those pictures, looks like we also have another member that went up to Sherwood Country Club to the Target World Challenge. Took some great pictures over there, too. Has Tiger Woods with his stock T40 Nike Tour 5 wood on the range, as well as Freddie Funk playing with those prototype rack irons and his R7-425. What else do we have this week? Got an interesting launch from Tour Edge. They've got the Exotics driver that is just recently out. Got a real nice review on that. In addition, it looks like Tour Edge is going to join Golf WRX in the chat room on Sunday at 9 o'clock p.m. Eastern to discuss the hot Exotics 3-wood and the even hotter Exotics driver that's being launched right now. Feel free to pre-ask any of the questions on the board right now so that we can get them up for Sunday night. Appreciate the time. See you next week. More equipment news. Meantime, log on to golfwrx.com. Join in, see all the pictures, engage in some equipment discussions. Thank you.
We should send the guy some Starbucks.
I'm going to keep that. That's now in the recording. It's clean, it's clear. Welcome back. Thank you, Golf WRX. Apparently you can be expecting a care package from Everardo next week.
Absolutely.
Let's move into our Beating Balls segment. Again, we're sticking with that name. Makes me smile.
The Even end. Though it's painful.
It's painful. Another thing that's painful. We're taking our 10 questions here in the Beating Balls segment from a Sports Illustrated column by Alan Shit. Not Alan Shit. Alan Shipnuck. Shit, not whatever. And the first question is, will the U.S. ever win another Ryder Cup?
I'll go first. I'll say yes. They're going to be pissed. I mean, well, they are pissed.
See, the question doesn't even ask, will they win the next Ryder Cup? It says, will they ever win another Ryder Cup? So I have to say yes. I mean,
yeah, that's pretty harsh.
Eventually, someone's going to blow up Europe, so...
A little political commentary there.
No. For you. It's those damn Dutch. I have nothing against the Dutch. First thing that came into my head. It's Hamlet. He's from there.
Of course they're going to win, you know? Denmark. I mean, they're going to win again, but I mean, the question is, when...
Will they win the next one?
Well, when are they going to start caring about the Ryder Cup? It seems like they come in with such a lackluster attitude that how are they going to win unless you care? So that's my question for them.
I don't know. I blame the last one on... Hal Sutton. He's dumber than New Rope. Question two. One full season into his latest swing overhaul, can Tiger Woods get even better?
Yeah, definitely. He can actually find the fairway on his drives.
Maybe he could get one of those Sky Caddies.
Yeah.
That's having a sale on those.
I think he can get better. Of course he can. And, you know, Everard is right. It's driving. It comes down to driving. He was he suffered a little bit with his putting. This year, but you know, just shore up those two things, and he's going to be killing people like he's been doing already.
Yeah, it was interesting in the Tour Championship when he found the fairway. He had something like he was 11 under. When he missed the fairway, he was 3 under or something like that. But he missed the fairway 2 or 3 times as often, meaning he was 3 or 4 times more efficient from the fairway at making birdies than missing it in the rough. So I don't know how he doesn't look at that stat and just say, "Boy, I should." Maybe even if I take 10 yards off my drive, if I can find the fairway more often. But whatever. So
he even made a joke at the Tiger World Challenge clinic that he does beforehand.
Yeah.
He made a couple cracks about his driving and his accuracy there. So I think he's aware of it. And maybe that was just... maybe that's one of his top goals now, or hopefully it is.
I hope. Question 3. Will Michelle Wee finally win a professional tournament?
I don't like the way these questions are worded. Will she finally win a professional tournament?
Because, you know, she's been at it for so long.
Right.
He calls it 10 questions for 2006. So maybe that's the context.
Okay, that's
what's true. Your answer?
I'm
going to go with no.
I'm going to go with it's a possibility.
Well, let's say, will she win a LPGA tournament? Because a professional tournament, her competing maybe over in China or something, not quite as stiff a competition. Will she win an LPGA tournament?
I say no.
Not in 2006.
No.
Not, I mean, if Annika keeps winning half of her tournament, the answer is no.
True. So, I'm going with no as well. How about Chris DeMarco?
Yes, I think he'll win. I mean, he's come pretty close. It looks like his game has been stepped up in the last couple of years, so I'm saying yes.
I'm going to go ahead with yes. He's a great competitor. He made a lot of money in second place last year, and I think he'll do it first.
I'm going to say I hope he does and just leave it at that. So, I mean, people have been saying yes for the past 3 or 4 years, and it hasn't happened. So if I had to pick, I'll say yes, but history's not on our side, boys. Will the winning score at the Masters be over par? Let me qualify this by saying Tiger Woods has said that they haven't had a hard, fast, you know, not wet year for the past 4 or 5 years, during which they've done most of their lengthening. So, will, if the Masters plays hard and fast, will the winning score at the Masters be over par? The greens are going to be hard to hit and hold. And then, if it's rainy, I'm going to say no. If it's hard and fast, I'm going to put it at 1 or 2 under par. Just barely, but not over par.
And I'd follow that, too, by saying I think it's going to be right at par, but I'm going to say under par, whether it's hard or whether it's wet.
Say under par, too.
Yeah, I think when it's hard and fast, that means he's going to be hitting half sandwiches into the par fives now, right? So I think they can control the ball or hit 3-wood or something if it's that hard and fast that balls are running around. It's not like you can get into the rough at the Masters, right? Nobody wants to answer. Great chemistry we got there. Alrighty. Wasn't rhetorical. Question 6 is also not rhetorical. Can Paula Creamer bunk? Yeah. Can she bunk Annika Sorenstam? Hopefully not. Can she bump Annika Sorenstam from atop the LPGA money list?
I say she can. But then again, if she can't, If Annika keeps winning half the tournaments that she enters, she's not leaving much opportunity for Paula to do so. But I think Paula's a great competitor, and I think she has great games. So I think she can definitely do it.
I think she can do it. I don't think she's going to do it this year. Paula Creamer's a great – she's an outstanding talent, but I don't think it'll happen in 2006.
Yeah, I'm agreeing with Jeff. I think 2007's a good shot. 2006, probably not. I mean, there was
I didn't put, I, 58% yeah, I didn't put a gap qualifier
between Sorenstam and – well, these are questions for 2006. Pay attention, right?
All right.
We're not prognosticating out to 2012 or something, man. We're not that smart. Can a surgically repaired Ernie Els, the $6 million man, finally have a monster year?
I don't think he will this next year. He had a good score in his first tournament when he came back, but I don't think he'll be having a monster year this year.
No, I agree. I don't think he's going to have a monster year.
Well, how are you defining monster year? Are you looking at Tiger Woods' monster year or monster year for Ernie Els on his, based on his history?
I don't think Ernie Els is going to have 3 wins next year. I don't think it'll happen. I think he's got some more recovery to do, and he's going to have to find his rhythm and tempo again.
He has committed to play more on the PGA Tour and travel a little bit less. He said it's made him tired. So I think he'll win.
That may help him.
I think he'll win 3 times. I'm going to give him. I think he's hungry. I think being out of competitive action will overcome any rust that he's got. So, you know, I give him a good shot for having 2 or 3 years. I think, I don't know if he'd be eligible for comeback player of the year, but 2-3 wins would probably easily get him that if he's eligible. So, we'll see. Jay Haas on the Champions Tour. Is he good enough? Is he tough enough? You know, like I said earlier, he gave up that 6-shot lead in the Charles Schwab thing at the end of the year. So, I don't know.
That's something that he's always had trouble with, though, is actually when he's had a big lead, closing it out.
Yeah, he was leading the Tour Championship last year and didn't really do much with it, last year being 2004, still.
I think he's tough enough to be successful on there, but if it comes down to how he finishes, he doesn't have that yet, or he hasn't found a way to do
event
it.
In, you know, quite a while. I mean, a couple on the Champions Tour this year, but he hasn't won on the PGA Tour in a long time. So
he's got enough game to rule the Champions Tour, but whether or not he has the mental toughness to hack it, I'm not sure.
That's a good way to put it.
He's ball sitting on the fence.
Weenie.
Number 9, will Medina start of the PGA Championship inspire Sergio Garcia to finally claim his first major, or, for that matter, can one of the other 20-somethings get it done? I think it's a lot more likely that one of the other 20-somethings will do it. Dave just wrote an article about Sergio Garcia's putting. It seems that ever since Sergio went to his current putter, or since he started placing more focus on hitting greens in regulation, which he led the tour in this year, his putting has just gone downhill. So, you know, I mean, you can't win a major without putting, and I don't think Sergio's going to turn that around to the level that he needs to turn it around to win at the PGA Championship.
Well, I'm going to say that Sergio knows that his glaring fault is his putting. I mean, the guy is just, if he can get his putter in order, he is going to just rocket up the world golf rankings. I mean, he's awesome, a ball striker. And so I think we're going to see, you know, maybe that's enough of a fire to get him inspired at the PGA Championship.
I would hope so. I mean, whether it's that event or any, but I think he knows exactly what he has to work on. And I mean, he used to be one of the top putters when he first came out. So he knows how to do it. He just has to regain it.
Okay. And the final question, will there be a throttled back ball for professional competition, not necessarily in use, but perhaps introduced by the end of the year?
I say no. I don't think the companies are going to allow for all the work and technology that they've put into a ball to automatically just be chopped and stopped. I say no.
Siding with you.
Yeah, I no way, not next year. We have to keep asking this question. I mean, you know, I just wish that we would see more press on the fact that it's not just the ball. That is the factor here. So I don't think it's going to happen.
Indeed. We can touch on that at a later time, but here's a quick question, a bonus question for you. If you were setting up a course for the PGA Tour, how would you set it up for 2006 with the ball, the clubs, the fitness, whatever, all the stuff we have right now? How would you set it up? But one, if you could change one thing about the average setup, what would you change?
I'd make the rough a little more penalizing, or a lot more penalizing. I mean, really punish these guys who aren't hitting the fairways.
Jeff?
Yeah, I wouldn't juice up the fairways. I wouldn't dry out those, bake out those fairways so you have so much roll. You know, you add the fairway factor and the rough factor, and you could really make tournament stuff.
Well, Tiger likes them soft because then they don't roll through the fairway. And roll only really helps the weaker players get it out there. You know, if Fred Funks is pee-popping it out there 250 and not getting any roll, and Tiger Woods is still flying at 300, well, Tiger's still got an advantage there. Mm. So, I don't agree with the softer fairways, but the rough I'll agree with. And the one change I would probably make is to put furrows in the bunkers, both fairway and rough. Make it tougher. I mean, guys aim for bunkers on par fives because they get up and down so easily out of bunkers. They aim for them instead of the rough around the greens because 10 years ago, 20 years ago, 30 years ago, bunkers were tough to get out of. Nowadays, pros aim for them. So, you know, I'd change a little bit of that. The rough is a good idea, and, you know, make the bunkers tougher. So, thanks for joining us this week on the Golf Talk Podcast, brought to you by thesandtrap.com. If you have two brain cells rubbed together, you can probably figure out where we are located on the web at thesandtrap.com. You can also participate in our forums at thesandtrap.com/forum. Thanks, Everardo. Thanks, Jeff. And we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
Thanks, guys.
Bye-bye.